This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibodeau. Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey there. Good evening, and welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off this particular ENN by saying good evening to Michael.
It's September 5th. It's October 5th, 2020.
And I'd like to say good evening to Michael.
I don't go to see scary stuff. I'm scared by life.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Let's go with Don!
Well, guys, it is going down. Cole versus Snell.
Well, that's Cole, awesome.
Cole Snell. Or Snell Cole. Snoll. Snell. It's happening. 8:07, the first pitch between the Yankees and the Rays. From Tampa on TBS. Let's hear from Luke
Voigt.
Wait,
wait. And on here.
Oh, yeah. My God.
What's wrong with you?
I'm so ashamed for what I just did. You can hear it right here.
You can hear all the Yankee games right here on 98.7.
What time does our pregame coverage start tonight?
Chris Carlin has a Zoptic hour pregame.
Oh, so you get warmed up with Carlin tonight?
Right, and he is already not in favor of the Yankee lineup. He would have started Sanchez. So he's ready to stir it up.
Well, you know, he always comes in ready
hot.
To go.
Oh, hot.
Scorching hot. Also, guys, this just in. Breaking news. ENN sponsored tonight by Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer makes volunteering easy. Let's say you drink a seltzer while you're watching the game. That's volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer. Help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. Now, let's hear from Luke Voigt about the Yankees having Cole in big moments like tonight.
We paid him to pitch in October, and, you know, it's a lock, and, you know, everyone knows that, and we need him to go out there to throw 7-8 strong innings and do what he's, you know, does best, and he's got so much experience with that, so we expect him to do really well tomorrow night.
In other words, don't screw it up, Cole.
Sounds a little like David Wells.
I heard a little bit of that. I hear
a little bit. Well, last year, Cole faced the same Rays team while he was at the Astros, and in two games, he was 2-0 with a 0.57 ERA, and pitching at Petco Park, four games started, 1.45 ERA. So he's ready. He's locked and loaded, but so is Blake Snell.
Michael, you're familiar with the famed and beloved rap artist J. Cole.
Yeah.
You ever considered calling Garrett Cole G. Cole?
No.
Let's move on then. Let's pretend that never happened.
No, but I think it's important because so many people call him Garrett, that would just change everything.
Yeah, and his name is Garrett.
That's right. But now if it's G. Cole, then no more screw-ups.
G. Cole's not bad.
I like it.
Thank you, Don.
You know the major problem with it, though, Peter, right?
What's that?
Michael didn't think of it himself.
Right. If he'd thought of it in the middle of a game, and he would have gotten all this credit on Twitter from people thinking he was so hip for the reference. But since I came up with it, it dies on the vine, which is
sad.
Right. Now, yesterday, after the Giants lost, see, a lot of people might have not seen the end of this, Don, because they may have been asleep. It's hard. You guys know, there's no harder. In my opinion, one of the great nap times in all of life that exists is in the midst of a badly played 4 o'clock football game. That is, to me, and listen, you could tweet me, maybe I'm wrong, I believe that's one of the great nap moments in life.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you get to halftime, you've been watching football since 1, right? And now, listen, it's not the same. Obviously, for me, the Giants aren't my team. So if I'm completely dialed in on my team, a little different. But in a season like this, we're even being dialed in. I mean, you could even hear in Dave Rothenberg's voice. It's not the same level of dialed in this year. So that second half, a little sleepy.
But it was competitive. And when you're a 13-point dog, competitive is something.
No, the game was still in question. But I'll just say this. Unless you're in the midst of a really meaningful game, that post, that late second quarter, early third quarter, 4 o'clock or 4:25 kick. Don, the only thing that competes in a nap category would be the Saturday afternoon, like major golf tournament nap. We're in the same category. It's just you turn it on and it's usually the sound of CBS, Jim Nantz saying something, and you wake up and all of a sudden it's Sunday Night Football. Anyways, you would have missed though the most exciting part of the game, and that was a fistfight between Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate, a beef that is very personal. Michael explained it in detail earlier. If you don't know the story, Jalen Ramsey has a couple of kids with Golden Tate's sister, and while she was pregnant with their last child together, he left her for a Vegas stripper and announced this to the world on social media. So the relationship between Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey is not it's not a peachy one.
No.
And there are a couple of tough hits. Ramsey really put the paws on Tate in
the
game.
Does a stripper put on her clothes when you're with her for the first time?
No, she shows up naked on the date.
Yeah, but essentially she does, because you've seen that, everything. So maybe putting on her clothes is like, you know, foreplay.
No, I would think relationship is pretty typical of relationship with any person in any walk of life.
You're Don, you don't think that she shows up naked and then when it's time to get intimate, puts her clothes on.
Because you want something different at that
right,
point.
It was like, I'm going on a date with the school nurse. I'm expecting her to perform a hernia on me. Just
perform
check my hernia.
A hernia? What? That's going to be a drop.
No, it's going to be. But
nobody performs a hernia.
But I understand.
Check. Like to check if I've got a hernia. It's a ridiculous point.
Well, in Michael's version of this, Ramsey was wearing a full football uniform as well. So Jalen's wearing pads,
helmet.
You
get me.
And that way, when they go on the date, everyone's like, oh, look, a professional football player and a stripper. How do you know? Well, the guy's wearing a full football uniform and the woman's naked.
Like the first date with Jody, I had a Yes microphone and Jody had an IFB. I mean, it was like...
Really?
Know, yeah, because that's what we did for a living.
Wow. So they get into it. It looked like some of their teammates were trying to like kind of hold everyone back and let them scrap.
Like a high school schoolyard. Yeah.
Joe Judge believes it was Jalen Ramsey that threw the first punch.
On Joe Judge. Here's the bailiff.
Here's what Joe said. First off, I don't want John Mara, Steve Tisch, or anybody involved in this team to have to deal with something like this after the game. This is why we play the game. We have 60 minutes to beat the hell out of each other legally between the whistles. We don't need anything extra after. I talked to a number of our players, and obviously we saw some video and guys that were involved, and I kind of had an eyewitness standpoint for myself. After me and Sean had an exchange at midfield, I turned around. It was kind of happening right there in front of me, so I got a quick glimpse of it right there. And he decided to not punish Tate. So I was kind of hoping it wasn't about who threw a punch first, but it was more him just having his guys back no matter what in this case.
But I think part of having your guys back is to have some evidence and say, I think...
Right, and give a reason.
So for a young coach, especially an 0-4 coach, for the players to feel like the coach has their back, I think that's pretty big.
Golden
I think
Tate.
That's a very, very good point.
Warren.
Quinnen Williams was cleared earlier today of two felony gun charges stemming from a March arrest at LaGuardia, according to his attorney. As we said from the outset, this matter has been resolved with no criminal charges. It was nothing more than a technical issue with the storing of a firearm. So,
I could see that.
Yeah, people get confused about the rules.
I mean,
I've never
you should be more responsible. And I guess we're kind of forgetting that it was registered to him in Alabama, not here. So there's a lot of things to go into it, but I guess it's possible you can have it in your bag and you forgot, but you got to be a little bit more responsible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big gun guy, but I would imagine that this is something that can happen. But yeah, you'd want to take some precautions. Let's move on to the NBA Finals from last night, shall we? It was a I don't know. I might go as far as calling it a humdinger, Don.
A humdinger.
I was going to use that, yeah.
Yeah. It was a humdinger, at least for Jimmy Butler, a 40-point triple-double, and also some jawing back and forth with LeBron. LeBron before the game saying, or early in the game saying to Jimmy, you're in trouble. And at the end, Jimmy screaming back, you're in trouble. To LeBron, here's Jimmy Buckets.
Like, the way you keep this explaining, like that Seinfeld. Get your hands off Jimmy. Don't touch Jimmy.
Here's Jimmy Buckets on You're in Trouble.
Jimmy, first I just wanted to clarify. It looked like you said you're in trouble. Is that what you said?
That is what I said.
Okay. And then secondly, you said last game, or after last game, you guys would have to play damn near perfect in order to beat these guys. Where does this fall in terms of playing close to damn near perfect?
First of all, we're not going to act like I'm just out there talking trash, because I'm not. Bron said it to me at the end of the first. That's what happened. I just said it to him in the fourth quarter.
Love it.
So he was
Love
clarifying.
It. A little drama.
This was not random trash talk. This was bringing it right back to LeBron. And now he could be with Dragic and Adebayo tomorrow, which would certainly
I've got a lookalike for you, Peter.
A looky-likey? What do you got?
Yeah. Jimmy Butler and Jamie Foxx.
I believe it.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like a doppelganger.
I don't know if I'd go doppelganger, but I see some looky-likey. Huh?
Looky-likey.
By the way, the reason I'm saying looky-likey is because on the Office Christmas special, the British Office, when the David Brent character, the Michael Scott character, has become like this even more pathetic loser who's now clinging to his fame of being on a reality show, but no one cares about him, he goes and does these cheap appearances. And when he does an appearance, there's a celebrity impersonator there. And Don, the Brits refer to the celebrity impersonators as looky-likies. I'd only heard look-alike.
You really had quite the weekend, huh? The Shining.
He did.
Special of The Office.
I didn't watch that this weekend. I was just referencing why I say looky-likey. Gotcha. But I did watch The Shining, Michael. And this just in, breaking news. I, Peter Rosenberg, on October 5th, 2020... would like to declare The Shining as a classic film. That's right. I said it. A classic. Don, it was good from the second it starts. Yeah. And here's the real testament to how good The Shining is. I've seen it referenced so much in pop culture. And yet when I saw the things that were being referenced in the film, it didn't feel trite. It felt new and fantastic.
Wow.
You really
that's how good it was.
A favor and see it, Michael. There's certain movies that you just have to see, and that's.
I will not scare myself.
And by the way, this Jack Nicholson could put together a nice career if he's smart.
Yeah, he really sells it.
There was also proof on CBS yesterday that the networks have nothing right now. Nothing. After
Why?
60 minutes, you know what they showed as their movie?
Oh, Old School.
Old School.
What's wrong with that?
No. I love Old School. It's not as if it's like broadcast network level right now. It's been on maybe a trillion times. And also, you kind of got to cut out some of the really good spots.
That's a good point. It was a
That's what they're putting on CBS right now.
We're going streaking through the quad into the gymnasium. Come on,
honestly,
everybody!
When you take a look at it, and it's never been more true, going up against football is suicide.
So that you're saying
take
the
knee.
Test pattern, right?
No, seriously, because did you see the numbers for I know the NBA Finals has been hurt, but 12.4 million people watched Eagles Niners, which was not a gorgeous matchup by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, it was awful.
4.4 million for the basketball.
That's so tough.
So you
That's
could,
so tough.
You could do it, honestly, and you're just seeing, I'm sure the baseball is going to get hurt badly tonight by having to deal with two football games. It's tough. So, see, give I you know what? CBS, I'm starting to respect them because I love people that take the knee. They took the knee on New Year's, taking the knee yesterday. You know what? There's respect in it. You could
Don
put a big production
so
together, get
I'm
pulverized,
not a big take
lose
the knee
money.
Guy. I'm not a big
I'm with
the knee
Don.
Guy.
You know? And guess what? Guess who they grabbed for about 20, 30 minutes last night?
Who?
This guy. That's
what
right.
Do you mean?
I stumbled on Old School. I've seen it 1,000 times. I clicked it because it's Old School. It happens to be the part where Stifler is there with the donkey and Will Ferrell shoots himself in the neck.
That's
with
a great
one.
That's and, great. And you don't have to mess with that.
And you don't have
right?
to mess with it.
Not a lot of editing.
And
crazy, it, man.
You're
crazy,
that scene.
Man.
It's
you're crazy. You're crazy, man. You're crazy.
So
I like you. But you're crazy.
Who's not watching
that? See, that's the brilliance. Honestly, you got to give respect because they could have put. Listen, I thought Black-ish did a tremendous job last night. A lot of production into it. Probably got a similar number to Old School. And Old School, they didn't. CBS didn't have to try.
It's and real quick for me, Don. I yesterday was stuck. Here's what I watched. I watched a Washington football game against Baltimore. I would flip over to see Michael just killing every pick and me getting nothing right. So yeah. I'm watching Houston lose. I'm watching disgusting Cleveland-Dallas. Then I watch Giants, the repugnant Giants-Rams game.
Just because of what you do for a living.
Right. So my point is, by the time it gets to 8:30, Philadelphia-San Francisco, just on paper what that game is right now, who those teams are, and you look at it for a minute, and you hear Al Michaels complaining about masks, and then I see Will Ferrell and Luke Wilson. Guess what? I'm not mad at it.
Wait, right. Are you saying that on NBC they're lying, that you're not waiting all day for Sunday night?
That, you know what? They should change the song to "I Can Barely Even Keep My Eyes Open on Football by Sunday Night."
Honestly,
I'm completely worn out
on Sunday night. Why would you be waiting for Sunday? You got nothing but football.
You
got wall-to-wall football from 1 o'clock until they kick off. At 8:20.
By the way, and you want some hard truth when it comes to that song? All my rowdy friends are gone by Sunday night. If any of my rowdy friends were over eating wings and watching
That's
football for the 1 o'clock,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah, they're gone.
That's the old Monday
day,
night song.
Oh,
decade.
My God. I'm sorry.
Oh. It's a great point, though. But you're right. If you got rowdy friends over, they're turning over the furniture.
You know what? My rowdy friends are usually Ballard. And guess what? He's dead asleep by the 4 o'clock kick. Dead asleep.
That's great news for Katie.
You know what?
Ballard misunderstood.
Well, because he's not bright.
Let's hear from Eric Spoelstra on just how big Jimmy Buckets was in saving the Heat last night.
How else do you say it other than, you know, Jimmy F and Butler? But this is what he wanted. This is what we wanted. It's really hard to analyze or describe Jimmy until you actually feel him between the four lines. He is a supreme elite competitor, and we needed it. You know, obviously this was... This was a very desperate, urgent game, and he was doing it on both ends of the court, just put his imprint at every important part of the game. And, you know, he's in the top percentile of this entire association in terms of conditioning. And you saw he just got stronger as the game went on.
And lastly, LeBron James on the Game 3 loss.
You have an opportunity, and if you don't make the most of it, then you come back the next time. I mean, it's not like, you know, the series wasn't over if we won tonight. And we know for sure that Miami is never going to quit, no matter if we won tonight and they're going into a game 4 or 3-1. We just, I mean, I know how resilient that bunch is and how resilient their coaching staff is and their franchise. So, you know, I don't ever feel like we went into it and haven't, you know, let our guard down. And also, I don't feel like we're concerned. We're not concerned. We know we can play a lot better. We have another opportunity to take a commanding lead on Tuesday. So you rush that opportunity.
It'd be really fun to see this thing go deep. It would be really fun to get it to 2-2 and have a best of three and see what happens. And also see if the numbers go up a bit. I don't think people were really dialed into the start of the series. They didn't think it would be close. There's a ton of
competition. Especially going into last night, right? I mean, what made you believe with all the injuries that was going to be a competitive game, never mind the Heat winning the game?
Let's go back to the NFL.
Please.
Maybe a day late and a dollar short, but Bill O'Brien out in Houston as head coach and GM. By the way, you know who was thinking about that yesterday?
Who?
Me. When I was watching the stupid Texans who I picked, and they showed Bill O'Brien on the sideline, and I'm like, why did I pick this moron to ever do anything?
You know, Bill O'Brien really has an excuse. All of the blame should go to Bill O'Brien, the GM.
That's a great point. because Bill O'Brien, the head coach, is going, you know, I could really use DeAndre Hopkins right now.
Right.
But Bill O'Brien, the GM's like, sorry, I don't get along with him.
How great would the press conference be if he was able to fire himself as the GM but stay on as the head coach?
Or the reverse. He fires the head coach and says he'll still be the GM.
But that would be a mistake.
Well, either way would be a mistake. But at least it would make sense.
You know what? The Texans are doing it better than the Giants and the Jets. They got rid of the GM and the coach at the same time. They didn't stagger it.
Nope.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, Dallas was putrid yesterday.
You know what? We don't even have to know what your picks are. Just your ENN and the tone about some teams. That's all we have to know.
That's so true.
I wasn't even in that moment thinking about it. I was just thinking about what you guys have said all day long, which is so true. Their one ridiculously misplayed onside kick against Atlanta away from being 0-4. Dak Prescott threw for over 500 yards yesterday. It was basically a Prescott free-for-all in the fourth quarter. And they closed the lead all the way to 41-38, but still come up short. Odell Beckham Jr. finished the game with a 50-yard reverse touchdown run. Let's hear from Dak on throwing for over 500 yards.
I'd give all those yards back for a different record. So I care about one stat, and that's to win. So when we don't do that, no other stats matter.
DeMarcus Lawrence, not happy with the Cowboys' defense.
In my own words, I'll call it soft. We got to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We got to play together as one, and I don't feel like we're holding ourselves accountable, including myself. So I'll call it soft, and we'll get better from it.
Well,
nice.
They only gave up 49 points to the Cleveland Browns. Let's see. Baker Mayfield. Would you have believed if I said Cleveland's going to throw up a 50 spot? 49 points. Baker Mayfield's going to throw for 165 yards.
But I would believe that Baker Mayfield is going to eventually be very successful. I mean, anytime a guy, he literally lives in the stadium.
You're not going to let this go.
What?
This is your favorite thing about Baker Mayfield is that he lives in the stadium. Does that commercial even run anymore?
Where's a row? It runs constantly.
It ran at nauseam yesterday.
I think it's real.
Well, it has to be, Michael, because it's so
on TV.
But how about the comment from Steve Young, where he thinks it's the coaching in Dallas?
Yeah.
But if you listen to his answer, it's like it's almost as if he said the coaching's too good. Like maybe it's above the players' heads. Maybe they got to dumb it down because, you know, Mike McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. Mike Nolan's a good coach. He's the defensive coordinator. Is it possible that bad coaching can be that you're so good in your offense and your defense is so intricate that it's actually over the head of your players and that you've got to figure out a way to relate to them better?
You know, if Bill Parcells was not closing in on 80, you know that Jerry Jones would have brought him in again. And Bill would have taken it. Or the Jets would have brought him in.
Speaking of the Jets, let's hear from Rex Ryan. Earlier today, Rexy on Barton Hahn talking about Trevor Lawrence and whether or not the Jets or Giants would take him at number one.
This kid from Clemson is a once every 10-year player.
Okay.
And so now you're going to what are you going to do if you have a chance? If you have a chance to get Peyton Manning, what would you trade for him? And that's what you got to realize you're giving up. So to me, not only would you get that part of the value, somebody's going to give you at least three first round picks for the right to draft Trevor Lawrence. It's not close. He's that good. Andrew Luck. Remember when Andrew Luck came into the league?
Yeah.
This is a no-brainer, slam dunk, franchise quarterback. So what is that actually worth for you?
Well, right now, if the season ended today, the Giants have the number one pick and the Jets have number two. Because of schedules.
If you can get three ones and you're a team that's like struggling for talent? Because everybody brings up Andrew Luck. I'm wondering if the Colts had a chance to get three first-round picks, they wouldn't trade Andrew Luck.
Well,
because Because they never won with him. Why? Because they never had any talent around him. They had an awful GM, awful offensive line. Basically,
and when they finally got an offensive line, he quit. He retired.
Because he was pounded so much, he wanted to get the cow. So
I think either one of these teams is trade, if that's really what's available, something that a haul that crazy, I don't think either of these teams would take him. I think they'd go with their quarterback and try to get the picks.
It's hard to get three number ones.
If
he's that good, then the second and third number ones aren't going to be that great. Think about that.
That's true too. Though it's hard to turn it around by yourself. But, hey.
Yeah, but if somebody trades up, they're going to be a team that's not terrible. So maybe the Patriots say, I'll give you three number ones.
I don't know that. Because it might just be a situation where, you know.
To jump two spots, maybe.
The team that's got the third overall pick. So I need this guy. I want this guy. You know, what did the Jets move up from 6 to 3 to get Sam?
Mm-hmm. Three number twos, right?
I don't know that it's going to be a good team. It might be just an awful team that in a year where you listen, we're staring at the possibility. We got three 0-4 teams?
Mm-hmm. Four.
I think. So the top three picks might have a collective 5 wins this year. You might have a 3-13 team with the third overall pick.
Sources have told Adam Schefter that Browns running back Nick Chubb is going to be out 6 weeks with an MCL injury in his right knee. Titans have no new positive COVID tests as of earlier today. If you're interested in betting that Chiefs-Patriots game tonight, Sony Michel out against the Chiefs tonight. That game happening at 7 o'clock. And, of course, our Monday night game on ESPN now happening, the Packers and Falcons at 9 o'clock. And
what's
also
the number on that game tonight?
Chiefs? It was 7.5.
Probably off the board now.
It could be off the board. No Cam, no Sony Michel. That can't be a good number. You see it, Don?
I'm going to try to find it, and I might bet it myself because you got to really love Bill Belichick if you're picking the Patriots tonight.
And former Florida State coach Bobby Bowden, 90 years old, tested positive for COVID-19. He said he doesn't have much energy, but other than that, nothing much else has changed. He was hospitalized last month for an issue with his leg. So we send our best out to Bobby Bowden. That'll do it for ENN.
I got it. I got the Chiefs minus 11.
RJ Bell's pregame.com has it at 12. I might take the Patriots with that.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.